Hi, Eric McLaughlin here from Ken Seeley Rehab and Intervention 911. And today I have with me Ken Seeley, the owner of Ken Seeley Rehab, and La Mitchell Person, who is the glue guy, does everything. If you call, generally you're likely to get him. If you have a problem, generally you're likely to get him. If you need something, generally you're likely to get him. So we're really glad he's here to be able to participate. And maybe that's a good way to jump in, is to talk about on the front end, you know, we're in this current crisis with the COVID-19, and it has really impacted businesses. And specifically, it's impacted the rehab, wellness, recovery industry in a myriad of ways. And maybe, La Mitchell, you can talk about one of the things about how it's impacting people accessing treatment and what kind of things have been put in place to help with that.
Most definitely. Thank you, Eric and Ken, both for having me here, and then also KJ. But it is super, super important for us all to band together and come up with solutions wherever there are issues. And so just because the world is in a crisis, it doesn't mean that behavior health and substance abuse is going to stop, mm-hmm. and that people are going to stop needing help. So
it's getting worse.
Very worse,
right?
Yes.
There are a lot of statistics actually to support that. Increases in drinking, alcohol consumption, even domestic violence.
Yes, so for us to be present and to be able to conform and be flexible with what we're doing on a daily basis is super important. So mm-hmm. we've implemented a lot of assessments that we typically wouldn't do on the front end to ensure that the safety of the clients that are currently there. And we've been able to offer other services that typically you have to do in-house or at a licensed facility. We've been able to now offer those services through our licensed facility, but at the comfort of the client's home.
Wow. So what kind of, Ken, tell us a little bit about what some of those services are.
Yeah, I think it's really important because a lot of people right now don't realize that, you know, I like to always talk about how right now what we're going through, all these people are, I call it like a vibration within us. We all have vibrations, you know, that's what the world is made of, vibrations. And with this, you know, pandemic going on, the vibration is like a trauma response. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, if there was any PTSD, then, you know, it's automatically happening right now for everybody. So you don't even have to be a drug addict, an alcoholic, just any kind of fear that you've ever had in your entire life is now being triggered because of what's happening in the world.
Yes.
And I think that's where we really want to recognize is that people are at home and, you know, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh my God, the shoe's going to drop. Something bad's going to happen. And I know that's normal for me.
Like he just stuck his finger in an electrical socket.
But it's like magnified by 1,000 because of what's going on right now. And so when that happens, we're fortunate because we're in recovery and we have the tools on what to do. The problem is there's so many people out there that it's feeding their depression, their anxiety, their fear, and they don't know where to go with this.
Yes.
And that's why I like what you're talking about, is that we are offering in-home treatment, which means you could be in your home and you could be on your iPhone or any kind of phone, and you could be talking to a therapist and getting counseling, therapy, group therapy, one-on-one therapy to help reduce that vibration that we wake up with every single morning. So that's really where I think it's important, is getting that kind of therapy for all the people out there that are scared to death.
And I think that one of the benefits, you know, if we had to look at maybe not a benefit, but one of the good things to come out of this is the kind of acceptance and willingness to try kind of the online platforms. I'm very fortunate. I had a great experience both in school and at my initial internship as a social worker. to accomplish that all online. Mm-hmm. I went to school online. I provided therapy online, including everything from intakes to assessments to discharge planning. And it was mostly in a one-on-one session, although I did do some family work. So I had a big comfort level in that. And that's something we've had in our company for a long time, is the belief and the idea that we can use technology. But I think what we're seeing now is the openness to using that technology for group therapy, which is traditional outpatient therapy. For individual therapy is really skyrocketing because, like you said, people are vibrating and not in a good way, and they need some help. And this is a good way for them to get it and still maintain safety.
Yes, because it's super important. It's already, you know, when you look back 6 months from previous to this, there were callers calling in, and there were already a hurdle. There was already a hurdle to get into treatment. Now you add the coronavirus mm-hmm. to there, and there's mm-hmm. a double hurdle that they now have to overcome. So being able to say, hey, even though you have this hurdle, we have a solution to that, is super, super important.
Yeah. And Ken, tell us a little bit about, like, you know, the need to get help and support is being expanded kind of on the front end, therapeutic support, mm-hmm. treatment planning, medication management, all of those things are happening. But there's been a real revolution post-treatment too with what people look to for recovery support, such as online meetings. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I know we started doing this, I would say like 8 years ago, where we would work with the families online through Zoom. And now we're getting other people to finally understand the benefit of mm-hmm. Zoom, because, yeah, it's not as good. I don't feel it's as good as somebody sitting in the room with me. You know, when I'm doing my work with clients, I don't think I'm getting their full reaction by not seeing their whole body, you know, the way they react to the situation. But having this where we have the video going, I'm at least able to see their face. So it's not like a phone call that I'm just hearing their voice. I'm getting to see the expressions, and not their whole body expressions, but their facial expressions. And that gives me more information mm-hmm. than them saying just on the phone. So this platform has been available for many, many years, and we've been using it. But now I'm seeing that the general public is seeing the benefit, mm-hmm. not just us. You know, the general public is now being able to say, oh my God, this is a lifesaver. So they're getting used to it, which I really love, because, I mean, I go to like one or two 12-step meetings a day now. I mean, every day at 3 o'clock, we do a 12-step meeting, and then I do one with my professional peers, with my friends, you know, with my colleagues at work. So it's being able to connect with people at a level that I wouldn't be able to connect with. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to do a lot of traveling to see all my friends, you know, we call it the traveling home group.
Love it.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't there like a Facebook group or a online 12-step group that had like 90,000 members, like almost yeah. overnight, because people were unable to go to face-to-face meetings for support, but instead decided to reach out and kind of start this online kind of movement, which is really exciting. I think it's going to continue.
Yes.
You know, what do you think will happen post-COVID with some of these online services?
This is the new way. This is the new way that says you are welcome to come and try recovery. And if you're not comfortable doing it the standard way, this is the new way, the new approach. Mm-hmm. And so I believe this is going to definitely continue way after this is done, because it gives people the ability to do this from the comfort of their home. Mm-hmm. It releases the anxiety, and it gives them an opportunity to say, I'm going to try this, even if I don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah, I could see this happening. Like, you know, people calling, you get calls all the time. And I want to do this, but I don't want to get on a plane. I don't want to go to a facility. So try this. Let's do it over Zoom. Yes. Let's do telehealth and see if this works. And if it doesn't work, then we could go to the next step. But this may very well work for them, because mm-hmm. if they get engaged with a 12-step community or any kind of recovery community program, and then all of a sudden they are saying, okay, this is really good, or they say, this, you know, I keep relapsing. And if they're going to keep relapsing, then we say, oh my God, they have to go to treatment.
Yeah. And I think another thing is that, you know, we're seeing people being able to access services, like people who are in need of therapy, people who are in need of post-treatment support, people who are have ongoing gains made. But what about for the professionals in the field? You know, we had the good fortune, there's typically every April, one of the there's a big conference put on in San Diego. We get to go down to the Hotel Del Coronado and hang out by the beach and learn about new trends in the industry. And if our voices are at all muffled, we're actually practicing good hygiene and wearing face masks. You know, they had canceled the conference, obviously, because in California, there's no social, you know, interaction and non-essential items. But they came around and they decided that they would have it online. And tell me a little bit about what your experience was like with that.
Did you sit on that, Mitchell?
No, I actually didn't.
You didn't see that one?
No.
So we're doing one tomorrow, another professional one that we're going to be doing tomorrow, we prep for today. But while I listened to the one, I listened to two of them yesterday. And I think, you know, I kind of enjoyed it. I kind of thought, like, this is different. This is...
Well, I liked it because I could check emails without anyone knowing during the presentation.
Yeah, you could check emails and you could check texts and continue to do that. But the thing I liked is that... people are getting aware of it, but one of the big questions was, we sat in an intervention presentation for an hour and a half, and one of the last 30 minutes was about questions and answers, and what they said was, you know, what are people doing? Where are the good places to get trained to be an interventionist? Where do I get trained for to be an interventionist? What are the qualified places? What are the, you know, the ones that aren't so good? And then, you know, and then how do I get enrolled in them, and are they doing them online?
Got you.
So now I think we're going to start doing them. We've been doing them for, God, 15 years now. We started in London doing intervention trainings, and the Brining Institute, where the credentials held, has been asking us to do them online. But this is a perfect opportunity to open up the gates and say, you could be anywhere in the world, and you could sit in on this intervention training with us and get the hours necessary in order to get your credentials.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. And I think, you know, part of it is making sure that people get the distant learning or the online learning the same way they would in person. And I think you kind of talked earlier about being able to see someone face to face. That's a big part of that. And, you know, being able to facilitate these trainings on Zoom is going to be really exciting, because people for so long have said, oh, I'd love to come, but I can't get to, you know, here or there. And now they just have to get to their living room or their office, you know, and sit at their desk to be able to get those trainings.
And like you said, you know, you did your master's at USC and was able to do that years ago.
Yep, in my underwear from and home.
comfortability.
It was. And you're looking.
Yes,
most maybe definitely. Some opportunities too.
Yes.
Yeah. That way we can keep him working while he's going to school.
It's the new wave. And it is exciting. And I think we're all looking for something to be excited about in such a difficult time. So for me, every opportunity that we have to enhance our program and to bring forth an opportunity for our potential clients and people that are looking for other things, it's huge.
Yeah. And so what do you think, you know, I mean, hopefully we won't talk about, you know, who's responsible for the slow response or the lack of face masks and gloves and toilet paper, all those crazy people running and buying toilet paper. But let's talk about what you think might happen after this. You know, we'll get to a point, eventually there'll be a vaccine. Hopefully the economy won't tank before then. And let's say life gets back to somewhat normal. What do you think are some of the takeaways that we'll have that will be changes that we keep, or what might we implement newly in our, you know, in our existing businesses, like they were before?
So for me, the most important thing that I think I have to recognize on a daily basis is that we are very resilient. And we are a country that no matter what we're faced, we pick up the pieces and we do our very best with what we have. And we're in a very difficult situation, but I believe that number one, the behavioral health field and industry has continued to move forward and be very positive and come up with different ways to still be able to service clients, which is huge, because we could be like most of the health field right now and just be in chaos, but we're not. We're really adapting and being very flexible and trying to come up with those solutions. So I believe the online platform thing will definitely continue. The resilience of our country will definitely continue. And I think we'll have a little bit more empathy towards our doctors and our nurses and our psychiatrists, because there's going to be such a huge demand to help them overcome some of the traumas that they've gone through by just being a professional. You know, being a doctor used to be that thing that everyone was proud of. But right now, you know, you have doctors that are feeling like they're going into war. So us from the behavioral health side, being able to support them to make sure that they are still able to be competent to do their job at a higher level, is going to be super important.
So kind of, it's interesting, you know, it's kind of like 911 brought into focus the need to really think about how first responders, you know, come out of tragedy. And that's what you're saying here is we have a whole new population, doctors, nurses, psychiatrists, people in hospitals. Some would say store workers, you know, people who are at the grocery stores, you know, dealing with people fighting over toilet paper. They're going to be the next round of first responders that really need to be taken care of.
Well, you know, you look at that with all the trauma that's happened, you know, like I talked about that vibration that's internal. They're going in the front lines. These doctors and nurses that are going to work every single day where people are coming in to be tested, where they think, I have this disease, I have this virus in me, can you tell me if I do? They're going and putting their families at jeopardy, their lives at jeopardy. A lot of them have already died on the front lines. So that vibration internally, that's trauma that's happening in real time. That's not something that they're thinking, oh my God, it's going to be PTSD. This is real life trauma.
Right, it's happening.
This is happening right here and right now for every one of those workers that are going to work. And even though they suit up and show up and they go to work, there's still that underlying vibration. They're toughing it out for the better, for mankind, but really that under vibration is killing them. And they need some place to vent. They need some place, because if they do not, it'll be the same thing that happened at 9/11 with those people on the ground. They will end up picking up drugs and alcohol and self-medicating because they don't know how to handle those emotions. So let's catch them now and help them in the behavioral health side instead of waiting for the shoe to really drop and them ending up having to go and get help.
Yes.
You know, because now they're addicts because they couldn't handle the stress of being in the front lines every day.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're going to talk in future podcasts about trauma and, you know, one of the things is, you know, people sometimes minimize. They say, oh, well, you know, most people get through that stuff. But that's the thing about trauma is what one person's trauma is not necessarily another person's trauma. So you have to be mindful and respectful that, you know, even for the grocery store worker, that fear of I can't give up my job because I won't have any money, I'll lose my health insurance, and I have to go in. And here's all these people coming through, they're not wearing masks, that who knows what they're doing before they get to the store, and then who knows what they're doing in the store. I mean, that's really kind of, you know, that's like playing with your life. When you hear that people are dying, that's like playing with your life. Every day is a choice to put your life on the line. And that is going to have that effect. I think you're right. I think we're going to see a lot of people accessing services that are trauma focused and really trauma informed to help these people get through that.
Yeah, I remember somebody saying that, you know, his dad was in the military and every day they would go in the front lines and they would fight this war, right? And what would happen is one day his best friend would get blown up and killed. And the next day he'd go, I still got to suit up and show up and go out there. And this is happening right now all over the world, because these people that are seeing their friends, their colleagues that are going out there and doing the work, but oh, that doctor didn't show up, that nurse didn't show up, they got the disease, the virus, and died. And it's exactly the same. We don't need guns and we don't need bullets to do this. This is a silent war that's killing people, and it's the same exact trauma. And our job in the behavioral health field is to help those people get through this. So going to these hospitals and giving them group therapy, one-on-one therapy, that's our responsibility to help them. We got to be there for them, because who's going to be there for them? Yeah. How are they going to digest that? How are they going to get through this if they don't have our help on the behavioral health side?
Agreed. This is a very, very big pill that we have to swallow as a country. And helping those people who are on the front lines is key to us being able to do that.
So, you know, LaMitchell, you're saying we're going to see the resilience of the country. We're going to see it come back. Powerful. Ken, we're going to have to, as an industry, kind of double down, basically, mm-hmm. for helping people who are going to be impacted by this. And that can play out over years. You know, there's going to be some people who, you know, will be in shell shock, and then there'll be people who it kind of progressively gets worse. And, you know, we'll see that. I mean, I think as an industry, you know, I think one thing I see changing is our attention to cleanliness. Yes. I mean, I was at the, I happened to do an intervention in the time of COVID yesterday. You know, we took a lot of precautions. We were really concerned about his overall safety in terms of, you know, if he was continued to on the path he was he at risk? And we felt that he was. You know, we minimized exposures, wore masks, wore gloves, minimized travel. But I did travel through an airport. And it was amazing to me how much touching of things that go into our bodies happens. I ordered a coffee at a coffee shop, and no masks, no gloves. And the gentleman took the coffee cup, he took the lid, put it on. And I thought, this is happening everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And COVID or no COVID, I'm grossed out. And so I think as an industry, it is, we deal with people who are vulnerable populations and who are potentially more at risk for these types of things. And if we can take some of the lessons we learned, sanitize twice a day, use gloves, wear masks when needed, and being out ahead of this, I think that could be a really great thing for our industry and really something we could look forward to. So.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm looking at the positive in this, because, you know, what happens to that nurse that goes to work and she ends up dying from this? You know, the family members that are left behind, the kids that are left behind, the spouses that are mm-hmm. left behind, they're going to need behavioral health, you know, our support in this industry. They're going to need our support. We need to be there for those people, because we don't want them to continue down a road of that dark alley that's going to have no light at the end of the tunnel. And the only thing they're going to know how to do is self-medicate.
Yes.
How do I not feel this pain of losing this. My spouse?
Yeah.
And how do I escape this? So that's our job. And it kind of, it's bringing, just having this discussion with all of you, it's bringing an awareness to me that we need to be there on the front lines with these people.
Yeah.
We need to be able to give them the Zoom meetings that they deserve. When they get off work, that vibration needs to be let out somewhere. And they need to have these group therapy sessions to speak with other peers and speak with other colleagues that are going in on the front lines. How did you process today? Are you okay? Did you get infected? Are you being tested? All of those emotions need to come out. So I think we have a great opportunity in helping these people.
For sure. For sure. Because it's even brought to light in my own personal life. You know, the importance of eating healthy. Mm-hmm. When you look at some of the majority of the cases, what the disease really attacks is the respiratory system and things mm-hmm. like that. So high blood pressure and those types of things. So it's really brought an awareness to me, saying I need to do a better job of eating healthy and making sure that I'm in my best physical health so that I can support on the back end.
That makes sense too.
Yeah. I mean, I think what I'm hearing from you guys is that it's times like this that are troubling and dark, but it's people like you guys who are committed to supporting, you know, other humans through these dark times and having the opportunity, and that out of despair can come a lot of positive changes and a lot of hope for the future. But it's going to take a lot of work to get there.
Yep.
So everyone that's listening, we can't thank you enough. Please stay safe. please stick with your families,
wash
your loved
hands.
Ones. Wash your hands.
Wear a mask.
Wear a mask. We're here doing this, but, you know, we're out here trying to help save some lives, too. So anything you could do to pass this message along, we want to make sure people are getting the help they need in behavioral health. Mm-hmm. That's the key.
That's it.
It's available out there. They need to have the access to the resources for this. I mean, I've seen all over. Contact us, and I've seen where therapists are giving free therapy right now for people that don't have insurance around this. So contact us, and we will help you find the help that you desperately need. Don't go through this alone. Please don't go through this alone.
Yeah, I mean, at Ken Seeley Rehab, Ken, you were one of the first people to really push for online meetings available to anyone. And, you know, you signed up for, we talked about as a company signing up for an account and allowing people to manage Zoom accounts to be able to host meetings, where it's really important that we think about what are the ways in which we can support each other, big and small, because, we have one meeting, 40 people a day, where the 40 people were there today. That's amazing. That's 40 people getting support for what they need. And, we may not be able to save the world, but if we save the people that are close to us and people that were part of our communities, that could go a long way towards that.
Yeah, if every community did that, and had 40 people, and that's like having a nice sized group of people together to support each other through this process. And if everybody was doing that, we'd have a safer environment.
Absolutely.
So I just want to thank all of you for checking in. We're excited to be here with you, and we really want you to be safe. So take care, and we'll talk to you really soon.